This morning's reading, scripture reading, is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, the walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that they had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, thank you for your love, for your grace, for the forgiveness of sins, for the opportunity to sing and worship you, for our children, and to be able to talk to them about your love. Thank you for your word, and as we just read it, may your spirit open our hearts, open our minds to receive the message you have for each and every one of us individually this morning. May your spirit enable us to receive that message as it applies to our own lives. Make the word come alive for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever seen the movie The Way? It stars Martin Sheen as a man named Tom. And he's a father who's gripped by a grief so heavy that he can hardly breathe, because his son Daniel died suddenly in a storm while he was walking the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James, the famous 500-mile pilgrimage across Spain that ends at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. And Tom's initial plan is simple, okay? Fly to Spain, collect his son's remains, and go home. But something happens. Instead of heading home for the airport, he decides to finish the walk for his son. And as he puts one foot in front of the other, he discovers that the journey itself is the teacher. He finds community. He processes his sorrow. And he finds a faith he didn't know he was looking for. Now, as many of you know, Annalise and I last year walked the last 60 miles of what is known as the Portuguese Coastal Way. And like all the others, it also ends in Santiago de Compostela. And we saw firsthand what Tom discovered. It isn't just about the destination. It's about the inner shifts of the heart that happen between the first mile and the last mile. Whether it's the Camino or the Kumano Kodo in Japan or even our own Appalachian Trail, these pilgrimages are hope with blisters. And they're about testing the body to stretch the spirit. And this is exactly where we find two disciples in our passage from Luke this morning. They are on a walk, and they are questioning, and they're about to realize that the risen Christ has been their walking partner all along. So the story begins on the afternoon of the resurrection. But notice this. These disciples aren't at the empty tomb celebrating. No, they are actually leaving. It says that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a town named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking about everything that had happened. They aren't walking towards something. They're walking away from something. They're walking away from the city where their dreams died. They've seen enough. They've had enough. And in verse 21, they say, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." They say those four words, heartbreaking words that many of us have uttered in the darkness of our own lives. We had hoped. We had hoped the treatment would work. We had hoped that the marriage would last. We had hoped that God would step in. Emmaus is the road of disillusionment. It's the path we take when we're trying to shake off the pebbles of doubt that irritate our souls. And so if you're feeling like, you know, you're walking in those sandals today, dealing with the silence of a God who didn't do what you expected, just know that you're in good company. But here's the beauty of our God. He meets us on the road of disappointment to turn it into a pilgrimage. Now, in the ancient world, walking wasn't about getting your steps in on a smartwatch. It was the pace of life. It gave you room to process. And the steady pace gives space for reflection, for prayer, remembering what matters most in life. And by the way, that's what Tom learned in the way. That's what Annalise and I learned on our Camino, that walking opens us to grace. And when we travel slowly, we notice things that we would otherwise speed past, like the kindness of a stranger, or the beauty of a wildflower, or the sound of a dog barking, or the quiet whisper of God. And often we don't think of our daily lives, you know, as a pilgrimage. We wake up, we go to work, we run errands, and we don't usually say, okay, God, what do you have for me on this commute today? To Cleopas and his friend, this was just a long and sad walk home after the worst weekend of their lives. But Jesus shows up in the ordinary. And Luke tells us that Jesus came near and started walking along beside them, but they did not know who he was. So Jesus draws near, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And isn't that, you know, like a common human flaw? Sometimes we can't recognize grace until we have traveled alongside it for a while. We're often clueless, you know, as we walk along life's way. We don't have an instruction manual, we don't have a map. We're often confused about our roles and our expectations. We muddle through, you know, midlife transitions. And we often fail to recognize Jesus when he actually shows up. But look at how Jesus handles their confusion. Doesn't start with a lecture. First, he listens. He listens to them. He isn't a friend who rushes to fix you or talk about themselves all the time or interrupt you mid-sentence. He lets them pour out their hearts, even their wrong perspectives and their clouded grief. And he gives them the gift of being heard. He listens with patience. He listens with compassion. And only after he listens does he speak. And then, starting with what Moses and all the prophets had said about him, Jesus began to explain everything that had been written about himself in the scriptures. He leads the first roadside Bible study, shows them through the scriptures that the Messiah had to suffer to enter his glory. And he meets them right where they are, not on a mountaintop, but on a dusty and secondary road. And you see, most of our lives, you know, are not spent on the peaks of spiritual ecstasy. They're spent picking up groceries, or doing the dishes, or walking the dog and picking up after it. And that's exactly where Jesus is. He's walking beside you. He's listening to you, and he's ready to speak to you. And he's waiting for you, by the way, to listen. Like he says in Matthew, let those with ears use them and listen. And when they finally reach Emmaus, the disciples say, stay with us. It's already late and the sun is going down. So Jesus went into the house to stay with them. They say something, you know, that we should all pray. Jesus, stay with us. And because they invited him, he stayed. I don't know if you remember Jesus' words in Revelation. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I will eat with you, and you will eat with me. And then it says, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took some bread, he gave thanks, and he divided it, and he gave it to them. So they sat at the table. Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Does that sound familiar? In that moment, the Eucharistic moment, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he was gone. So what happened next? Did they go to bed? No. They didn't say, we'll deal with this in the morning. They turned around and made a reverse pilgrimage back to Jerusalem. And they ran those 7 miles in the dark to tell others the Lord has risen indeed. So listen carefully. God meets us in our disillusionment. Because you see, faith is rarely a lightning bolt. Faith usually unfolds slowly over many, many miles, one step at a time. The road becomes sacred the moment we realize Christ is walking it with us. Not just in the sanctuary, but on the Camino of your everyday life. And so whether you are walking, 500 miles through Spain, or whether you're hiking a local trail, or just trying to make it through a difficult work week to Friday, let your road be a conversation. Let your walk be a prayer. Let your steps open up space for grace. Because Jesus is still showing up on the roads we never expected to walk. Amen. Lord God, thank you that you are with us on the road, the walk through life. You don't condemn us, Jesus. You listen to us. Patiently, lovingly, with compassion. You're willing to sit with us at the table when we open the door and invite you in. You say you'll eat with us and we will eat with you. Thank you for the grace. Help us to understand that as we walk through life, we need to be open for that path. The path that you give us, a path of grace, a path that unfolds and leads us to faith. May we indeed invite you to walk with us, and may your Spirit enable us to recognize you as you walk with us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.